heaven and alter humanity for the next 13,000 million years. That's a huge ESP act.
That's right. You have done some of that.
Well, yeah, I was talking. Oh, go ahead, Madeline. Sorry.
You just got heaven to earth.
I've been thinking about this. I get images sometimes. This is a very visual experience that feel like a communication from myself to myself. It's just spontaneous imagery that comes up. Where does that fit into this?
Well,
it could be in dreams or waking. And it's very much seems like some sort of communication.
Between
me and me.
Yeah.
Oh.
Did we get cut off? Bob, are you there?
Sounds like he's half there.
I don't hear him at all.
Oh, well, I guess I went into another region. You can't hear me.
No, I hear you now.
Now we can hear you now.
Okay, well, I just went into a cul-de-sac upstairs.
Hiding.
I thought it was
from
another
the noise.
World.
The noise is fading away nicely. So the...
So that phenomenon, what kind of visual base is that?
See, here's the technical meaning of visual, if you're going to put on McLuhan, wear his armor, is black and white letters. Color is not visual space. Color is tactile, McLuhan said. It involves all the senses. It's rich.
Yeah, you said that before. That's right.
Right. So if you're seeing colorful images, that's just tactile receptivity, but you put it between you and you, that's the beginning of visual space, you know, shaping the interpretation of the tactility.
She's talking about it in her mind's eye.
Yeah, mind's eye, yeah.
Which other people would say that's clairvoyance.
Yeah, but she's asking what's the purpose of it, and she brings in the between you and you.
Or what is it?
Just open to more information. Different ways of perceiving.
You know what it sounded like, though, too? Maybe you can explain this, Bob. When Ian was talking about, animals, somebody brought up maybe Wendy and the communication with animals, and they were alluding it. It's kind of like this, don't focus on the being, but the electrical, you know, we're connected. I wonder, Madeline, if that's like the beginning of the electrical connection between space.
Well, I am seeing animals, and I know that they're non-physical, and I think this is why I'm saying it seems like a connection or communication between me and me.
Oh.
Yeah, because you're making significance out of communication.
Mm. Well, you're saying like the physical and the non-physical part of you.
Yeah, the physical and non-physical is an effect of writing. That's the arc. That's why Ion is pretty good at accurate. It's the focusing on the arc of the covenant really began visual space.
And I remember loving that arc metaphor in a way because it sounds like an electrical arc to me.
Right, right.
Yeah.
Well, that's what's latent inside the form of visual space. Pushed to extreme, it flips into its opposite, electric space. So yes, the meaning, that's how Joyce wrote Finnegan's Wake. He would include other meanings in the pun. And it would actually give the life of the life of the technology, from the arc box to the arc light in the streets.
Oh, because in some ways I was thinking it's just my bias, my what do you call the auditory bias, the hearing bias,
acoustic space or audio tactile,
because of what I've heard before, you know.
There's no before for primitive people.
Yeah. Mm-hmm.
See, that's why they're very involved and emotional, and they throw their coffins all over the place.
So here's the series of images that I got seem to tell a story in a way. Anyway, there is not a narrative, but a progression from one state to another in a way. And I guess it might just be a tactile representation of what
I'm... Yeah, don't go from one image to another. Put one image on top of the other. There's where you get light through and the tactile spaces and the synesthesia. But if you have an image here and you're going to move that or go from that image to another image over there, that's visual space.
And time.
Yeah, and duration and time. But if you put one image over the other, like a moire, that's why he calls it overlaying. Reality is overlaid.
That's really important and good and fun.
This is interesting.
Yeah, I love that.
And so I'm not giving you
the concept. But you can only live one at a time.
We are just discussing the shape of your perceptual life. So this is what McLuhan called percepts. He's not presenting concepts or abstract ideas. We're just analyzing your sensory life and how technologies and extensions altered the group perception of sensory life. That's what we're talking here. Very simple. It's not mathematics. And all you have to do is hear it, and then if you get a few insights like you just did, you can start working on it yourself.
I'm not sure if I am getting insight.
No, you just get thought
later,
pattern. You're looking at the dynamics around you in the society differently, shaping the imagery of it differently.
Yeah.
And that's all. Doesn't mean you're ascended. But most people have a linear perception of ascension, so you got to get a simultaneous perception of ascension, which is just social conditioning, to free yourself up from having to have no mind.
Which is to be open to all kind of communication, isn't it?
No, the ascended person is not open. A literate person is open. They're a passive container. They're looking at the book, and they're letting the book's images go into themselves. The eye becomes passive. The pre-lit person has an eye that broadcasts, that makes space. So, at best, you want to get out of the passive mode of the printed effect and get into the active, proactive shaping of your senses and like the pre-literate, just to clear up the social mortar that you're all screwed up in. And you remember, your mortar is holding your rocks together. The rocks are your sovereign divinities, and they're held together into a society by mortar, and it's the mortar that messes up and causes confusion for your rockness.
So hang on,
the mortar
is between different sovereign beings? It's not.
Yeah, the rocks are a sovereign being. You're a hard
rock.
Right,
okay, and the mortar holds them. Okay.
Yeah, it makes a social structure, which is a wall.
All right.
And you could say water melts the mortar, so the water of emotion and fear and animosity and war breaks the cohesion of the society or makes the wall collapse. Now that could be a good effect if you knew what to do with your rockness once you're freed from the mortar. And that's what Gravity's Rainbow is about. It's about that period right at the end of World War II, when they haven't locked down Germany yet and all these guys are running around Europe in a state of anarchy and having fun. There's no bureaucratic order. The wall has fallen apart. And the rocks can roll, rock and roll.
Oh, right. Wow.
Good job, Bob.
What's the name of that book?
Awesome.
Who said that? Who said good job?
I did. That was great. That was a wonderful layout.
that's Leon. Yes, my greatest disciple, Leon. He's like 15 years old. He loves every fucking music thing, everything I say, every fucking show. He's not even having a youth anymore. It just all revolved around Saturday night.
Yeah, it's what else can I eat right now? I'm enjoying this, and then I'll venture out to other things. But yeah, this is incredible. But yeah, you're right about that. And I kept, or how I perceived the interview with Hillary is that she quickly went by, or she defaulted what she knew best, and that was her womanhood. And I felt like that was just limit her to explore different opportunities. Because I think that was the best thing about your interview was that you were really light with her to hopefully open her up to possibly see another dynamic. And maybe kind of step off the skin that she's been so used to and she's been so programmed to be familiar with and only familiar with. And from that point, I it was incredible because you still kept her going. And this last one, I don't know her name, but you quickly just, you gave her the, you know, 1-2 punch that she couldn't maintain for long.
Yeah, she saw no momentum in it.
Yeah, because you were playing with her, but at the same time, like, you know, it felt like she was getting it, but then at the other moment, like, I could see her brain rattle and just, like, oh, fuck it, Bob is going out of control, and I feel uncomfortable and, most importantly, offended about everything you said. So, but, I mean, that was
I
good.
Demonstrated,
great,
I did the road to... The road to Emmaus with Hillary and the road to Damascus with Cheryl.
Yeah, Sherry. Mm-hmm. One you made love, another one you fucked. That was good.
Yeah. You know, one was fast, wham, bang, thank you, ma'am, and the other was a nice, considerate, multiple orgasm.
Yeah, because I saw that too, because it was like you ruffle her feathers, and then you smooth her out, then you ruffle her feathers, and you smooth her out again.
Yeah.
And like she said, she's like, I gotta leave in 10 minutes, Bob. I'm going. And all of a sudden, she still stayed on. She was like, "Oh yeah, I'm sticking with this." And she gave a good report. I heard like what Jenny wrote. I mean, she still like she couldn't really like demonize you, but still like I don't know. It was mixed feelings, but I still felt like she glorified you at the end of the day.
Right.
We left out Collie. Remember Collie last night?
Oh, Collie, what was that? That was a sniper or something. That was like, no, she sniped me. Tried to.
Yeah. Yeah, she didn't even try.
She didn't get over the whole wait being made to wait half an hour. She's a published author.
Exactly.
Had to wait 30 minutes.
Yeah.
Ew, I'm out.
But see, that was the beauty about the 30 minutes. At least she understood, like, what she was about to get herself into. And maybe, you know, from that moment, it'd be able to, like, you know, it's a nice little warm-up, and then from there take off. But, you know, she just had to, like, fault it out. But that was a good, you know, at least she knew for a fact that it might not be her cup of tea. And she had to see
it. Who was on?
She's a sex therapist.
Yeah.
Right, when she gave you her bio about the tantric stuff.
Yeah, she's a kinetic bias tactile, and I'm an auto visual, smelly, etheric tactility sex.
How long did she last?
Not very long. About
5 minutes.
Did you guys?
What about Vinny? What did you guys? Huh?
Did you hear her say, I'm a published author? I got a bestseller.
Yeah, twice.
That was her identity.
You did say it twice, Bob.
Yeah.
Something was good, though. Something, she came back with, oh, I know. Didn't you say to her something like, yeah, there's a really famous person coming on or somebody really important is coming on?
She pretended that she didn't want to be a celebrity. I said, that's good. Go local. And I quoted, who's Kate Moss? Who's the one who talks about Kate, the journalist, you know? Is that Hillary? Who romanticized the journalist? Yeah. Kate.
Oh yeah.
That's Hillary's hero, and I said you're like Kate Moss, you know, Kate Mopa, whatever it was, the one who dropped out, who wanted to go local. So I tried to give her a community. I said, hey, you're part of this community, the Kate Mopa.
Kate Montana.
Right, and that Hillary one who talked about that, right? Yeah, that's Hillary, and they're small is beautiful. And so the woman, Callie, started off sort of representing small as beautiful, but then there was another level that I didn't give her the right justification for that or something, so she said, no, that's no good. I got nowhere to go but just reject this person.
What'd she say? I have better things to do.
Yeah. She said, I just gave the small as beautiful thing, and he didn't seem to respond normally. He doesn't believe in it like me. This guy's going for the big, big level like I am, because I'm a best-selling author. See, she doesn't really want to be local.
She saw the threat. She ran away.
Yeah. Hmm.
Hey, Bob, what did you and Vinny talk about? How did that go?
Oh, he just had a million rules. A million fucking rules. Every sentence was this rule. That's this the categorized. So after a while, Neufeld got fascinated by it. So Neufeld argued with him for about an hour, and I said, good, I don't have to fucking talk to this guy, because I was not going, this guy was hopeless.
Oh.
He's a young
person. Which one was this one?
Vinny Clint Eastwood.
Oh, Vinny.
Clint Eastwood.
He came up with, like, Yeah.
Well, who's saying Vinny? Is that Legend?
Oh, no, that's Leon. I'm just saying, yeah. Like, he was very interesting when he first came out. He made great patterns, but then he couldn't accept anything, a new dynamic neither. He was just, well, no, it's this pattern, and then it's this pattern, and after that.
He started bringing rules in. I was there.
Yeah.
He gave his pattern, I gave my pattern. I didn't make a rule about his pattern. I gave a sort of a counter pattern or a supplement pattern. I made a pattern. And then he gave a pattern. Then I gave a pattern. He says, oh, no, that's wrong. Your pattern's wrong. And he put rules into it.
Did he know anything about you or Ion before?
No. None of them know.
I don't get it. Wow.
No, Matthew tried to fill up the schedule. He wanted to make it like Bob's, all these people want to talk to Bob. So he got whoever he could to be imaged on the column as if these people were going properly.
What would he tell them? What would he tell them to have them agree?
He told them that Bob will interview you. Maybe something like that.
And they don't want to know who Bob is?
What?
I said, they don't want to know who Bob is? I mean, they just say, Bob, okay, great,
yeah,
sign me up.
Yeah, they're media whores. They want to get any attention as possible. And they like Matthew. They all like Matthew.
How do they know Matthew? He's been in touch with these guys for years?
He's met them through different radio networks he's on, different realities. He's met them.
Haven't they? A lot of them were from the Achieve radio site, I thought.
No.
A couple.
Are they American Freedom Radio?
Only Hillary. Hillary is the only one to know. Sherry used to be there.
Okay.
She came in and celebrated Bill at the beginning. Hadn't seen Bill in years. And then, but she's somewhere else.
So I bet he used that, you know. There's going to be an interview on Achieve Radio, and they assumed that Achieve Radio was, you know, has a certain integrity.
Yeah. And Sherry's going, how long have you been doing this?
He said,
how long have you been a fucking asshole on radio? This is shocking.
I was laughing so hard.
I know. This is a great way to create humor. I create a situation where the after image is full of humor if you talk about it.
Yes, you did. Well, did Santos Spinacci come on?
Beg your pardon?
Did the first guy... Yeah.
No, he never showed up. And another guy, Dennis somebody, several guys did not make it at all. We never heard from them. We don't know what they knew.
I think they did it for homework.
I think is interesting is how some of these people, you know, none of them know anything about, or maybe Santos actually looked you up and said, hell no.
Yeah. Yeah,
that's what I'm saying.
You know who he's a good friend of? He's a good friend of Lance White's.
Well, Lance is another ridiculous person. They all
I know. And when I saw his name on there, I was like, what? How did this happen?
Lance goes for the fringe B-team people. You know,
mm-hmm.
Like Santos has got his homeless-looking YouTubes and these huge, naive charts, and it's just, and Lance likes that. You go to Lance's site, there's all these names you don't know. But they're the B level, you know what I mean? They're the ones.
Santos has his own show, doesn't he?
Which reminds me, where's the one who worshipped me for a year, Terry Gilmore? What happened to her devotion to me, Allison?
You must be reading my mind because that was why I knew about Santos Spinacci.
Right. Well, she brought Larry. Her hero was Larry. And then
I was Lucifer,
and I was a good Lucifer, and she went on this rant for a year about how awesome I was, and I was Lucifer. And, you know, I don't know, you never heard me talking to her, but I used to have long talks with her and be very understanding, try to give her insights and ignore the worship of Lucifer and try to talk on other levels. And it probably sounded so genius what I was saying, and she couldn't understand it, that made me even more Luciferian.
Go ahead.
Yeah, we're not going to get into it.
You mentioned Lucifer. What does Ion say about the difference between Lucifer, devil, and Satan? I mean, Lucifer is an angel, archangel,
yeah, he's
but
a good guy. He's
why is he connected always with Satan and the devil? When
that's the literacy. The literacy did that. Because you
and
have polarity when you bring in literacy. You don't have that polarity in pre-literate societies.
So, in other words, in reality? Or it's just a different reality?
Reality is a literate concept.
Well, so did religion, though, take it from literacy? I mean...
Yeah, yeah.
Okay.
So theology Satan
is a literate concept. That's,
Satan is an extreme polarity.
Extreme, so there's no reality?
What?
So there is no reality is what you're saying?
Yeah. No, there's no visual reality under electric conditions. See, you can get specific. There's ratios. When you have a larger environment, electric tactile technology, then the figure is not visual space. That gets no traction. The figure is drumming, rhythm, acoustic space. That's the 20th century. From ragtime to jazz to rock and roll to rock to hip-hop to Bob.
Figure, by figure you mean structure? Or what do you mean?
Yeah, figure ground. A structure is a figure ground. Especially for literate people, you see. Non-literate people don't see something here and have a perspective behind it. Oh, there's the deer and it's in front of the tree. The non-literate people don't have that figure ground. Front screen and back screen? What's that word? Front plane? Frontal plane and back plane. They don't have perspective.
Foreground and background?
Yeah, you can say that.
Okay, so the non-literate has no perspective?
Right, because they're listening. They're not engaged in the eye. The eye is weak. It's useless.
But you also
the eye talks to the mind.
The eye in non-literate people is broadcasting.
Yes. It's not passively receiving.
So that would remove the perspective if it's coming from...
Yeah, right.
Somewhere
not
above.
The third eye.
Wow.
You see, and this is a simple course. You take a competent teacher. He teaches at the high school or first year college. It's the best knowledge they can get, and you guys are getting insights. It's important insights. If you don't know it, you're fucking stupid, and then no one knows it, or everybody's stupid. But if you know it, you know something that's valuable. You know what's real, your senses. You understand the dynamics. And you know, the kids are deprived of that.
Wait a minute, how can you say they were deprived of that if they're going tribal? And they're going more into their chip
body.
No, they're
deprived of the reasons they're going tribal.
They don't have the explanation.
Madeline goes, wow, woo, great. And Allison, they're getting insights. And these are unique insights, but it's not complicated. You just have to hang around and listen for a while and get a few points. And then you've got an understanding of your basic image and sensory differences. And then how they're extended. I'm saying that Madeline finds it unique, these insights.
Oh,
they are.
Incredibly.
Right. Now imagine having some competent teacher in high school. He's got 6 months to fucking spell this out to the kids. They'll love it.
What would you call the course?
Bobism. Bob 101. Bob 202.
And the tagline?
Jism.
Yeah, jism. Jism by day. From Jesus to jism.
Get somebody brought up the third eye.
Get happy or whack off.
Yeah, be done with it.
Understand your images, your four bodies. Four bodies or five bodies?
Yeah.
I mean, your outline would cover the bodies, would cover the senses. The quadrophenia,
right?
The different levels of perception.
And you know, the literate establishment, the teachers would say, no, there's something weak about this. This is like teaching puns or something. This is trivial. Their literate sensibility probably would object to it.
Yeah, it's
I don't even think they know what they don't know what they're teaching anymore. Do you? I mean, they're just like reading a syllabus.
They're the most evil people. If you get a modern Dante who describes the limitations of the Florentines, you know, that Dante did, you would put the teachers today in the deeper hell, the worst places.
Yeah.
Because they're the most comfortable, they're a union, they don't suffer, you know, Wall Street crashes over 25, 30 years. They get quite a good salary. They don't have to work all year. They're very smug, and they're just babysitters. But because they're hanging around books, the society says, oh, those guys are near books. They must be important.
I picture them as trapped. You know, they're trapped and with the technology just swirling around them so fast that they can't keep up.
Yeah.
I'm surprised.
What do you think about
committing suicide all over the place?
They're bringing computers into, well, Max's school anyway. They're already in there. And they came out with a new standard core, they call it. It's not memorizing material. They want to know, when you come up with an answer, how did you come up with it? I mean, they really want them to think. And, like, his teacher is combining movement with, like, music and information all at the same time.
Yeah, they're trying to bring in the mixed media, the multi-sensory existence, without teaching the formal dynamics and differences between the senses. They want to just enhance content absorption and not stay limited to the eye.
Right.
And maybe they overemphasizing thought.
Yes.
Involving feeling, hearing, sight, all of it.
Yeah.
All the senses.
And I heard Guffey says, Robert Guffey wrote The Matrix, Bob and The Matrix. He says, he's an English teacher. I don't know if he's been given the instruction, but I heard him say that they are not allowed to teach fiction in college anymore.
Oh.
Yep, that's what he said.
What?
It just started.
Wow.
I guess that would mean something
class in college.
Wow, so they know what nonfiction is?
Yeah, nonfiction is the Bible. That's pure
faith. Yeah, I know, but they're not going to say that. I mean, they're just...
Right.
They're going to put out whatever
probably
crap they want to put
theology
out and call it nonfiction.
My new insight was theologies are really what are the real writing, keep literature going. So they might be trying to move to the ologies. But who knows? The point is that they see that the kids live in fictional worlds. The literate parents see that the projects a simplified model of the multi-sensory goings-on. And they say these people are walling around in trivial information, fictions, so we do not want to give them books that are fiction. That just enhances the fiction dynamic they're already lost in. So
so this might be a good thing.
Yeah, they're trying to...
No,
it isn't. Nothing's good. That's a concept. You want to teach them the sensory dynamics. They don't know their bodies. And it doesn't mean becoming sensitive. They don't know the five senses.
Yeah, because whatever they're teaching that isn't fiction is fiction, too.
Right. Yeah.
But like when you
got to work up to that.
Yeah, because when I was reading, Deliberation to Dumb Down a Nation, I just noticed it was the school system that kept recognizing a pattern that they didn't like, and they tried to adjust it by adjusting education. And it still just ended up with more tears.
I missed the last sentence. They're trying to justify what?
They try to, they try to fix what they messed up on the past generation. So if a certain generation acts a certain way, they'll readjust the education, so therefore they feel like they're bringing them back into awareness that they feel more comfortable at.
Yeah. I didn't
but
get that,
like
but do you want to repeat it again?
No. I'll try.
Is it worth getting? What were you trying to say?
It was more, they always keep trying to adjust the education every time they realize there's a pattern in society that they're...
That's the constant of change, and everybody feels that they're stagnant if they don't come up with a new paradigm. That's another factor. The figure of a tactile society is change.
Correct.
And you feel,
the semblance of progress. And
what?
The semblance of progress they want to keep up.
Right, right.
What was the deal? I remember the kids of, like, all the Apple, Steve Jobs and... I don't know if he had kids, but of all the... Weren't they going to, like, a school that was completely different than what
right. The
mainstream kids are going to?
It was
technology. That's what
no
it was.
No technology. Because they're accessing their knowingness, or kind of what they would call a cloud. They had free access. They already knew that they could just access all the information if they had it within them.
Oh, well, that's what the kin schools in Russia are doing. That's the Anastasia book stuff. It's
Anastasia.
Kind of fascinating. They don't have teachers. The kids teach themselves whatever they want to know. And they're getting, like, college degrees at age 15 and stuff. It is
that's how dumbed down colleges are.
Yeah.
Yeah, but
the teachers can't teach. They're being real lazy, and they're bringing in all this slack thing so they don't have to do anything because it's hard to sit in a room nowadays.
Well, you've got kids, and I mean kids. They designed and built their own school. Like, they learned how to do that from the ground up. They learned the architecture and all that stuff and did it themselves. And there is a lot of, it is about how we already know everything, and they're proving it. Like, we don't need to be taught how to survive in this world. We already know everything we need to. Just have
no,
to
no,
be
we don't
able
already know.
Allowed.
You've got to have the electronic ground of digital society. It's a figure. Well, the knowing is a figure of the digital ground.
Hold on. Can you say that statement one more time and then... Well, okay, just say it one more time if you could. They have to know the electronic what?
They cannot know, all that knowing unless they have digital technology. So they're numbed in an extension in the servo mechanism of digital technology. And you take that technology away, they're dumb. So you've got to teach them.
No, that's not what's going on there.
No, listen. The true aware kid would be able to handle the non-digital society as well as the digital society. He's not vulnerable. And that requires sensory training.
Doing.
What?
That's what they're doing.
No, they're not doing it because they never go off, disappear from a digital environment.
Yes, they do.
Now, Ion says that's what's going to happen. The EMP is going to knock out the digital environment, and that's where it's going to be massive die-off. That's what's said on March 24th, 2010.
What year? Oh.
2010. That's the one that starts off with Allison going, Brian, you know?
Bob, I don't believe that they're involved in the digital environment in that school.
Well, if they're making architecture, they teach themselves with what?
That's what's so fascinating.
They don't have any. Okay, they don't have any computers?
Right.
Okay, so they're using old literate materials to make old-fashioned shit, and they're not being prepared for the digital society, other than that they are already involved, so they're trying to get them to be... See, the problem is they're making them do things. They're not learning the sensory dynamics and differences.
I'm going to send you a link or two so you can look into this. I'm not expressing it well.
No, but look at this. America is kinetic. It's called efficient causality. You have to be efficient at doing something. And you get lost in the content making something. So he's got these kids making something, and they're not learning the dynamics or why the making society of the United States is based on kinetic and visual space. They don't learn that.
They're in Russia.
Oh, they're in Russia. So they're learning how to make stuff without digital stuff. Well... That's nice.
And without textbooks.
Right. So, are they going to be able to work in the... they shouldn't have schools at all. That's the problem.
That's what they're doing. This is what they're doing. They're demonstrating that it can be done without any formal...
But there's no context for it. So they can make a house or an architecture. That's not the society they're in. They're equally victims of the latest Steve Jobs products.
Well, that's what you were saying. It's like Leon was saying. They're reacting to what we, you know, the last generation, quote unquote, supposedly needs now to be stripped of all technology because that's probably what ruined them. You know, they're just trying to find a reason. You're talking about, Madeline.
They're doing the hands-on. Okay, you do this kind of hand stuff, and that did you in, so we're going to take you and do your hands-on with old-fashioned making. And they're not the point is they're leaving out the Bob knowledge. They can do all that shit, but they don't have the Bob knowledge, so they never really know anything.
It kind of sounds to me like they are engaging the Bob knowledge without having...
It's spelled out because they don't know it.
They're mimicking the tribal experience without knowing why.
That's right.
But it's still excluding something.
Story where they raise the plant from the dead.
Yeah, they raised plants and architecture from the dead.
That's hilarious.
No.
Okay. It's like kinetically.
Here's the issue. Here's the issue. I can go in any room and start talking like this and cause problems. Hatred. Lashing out. What are you doing here? You're just talking nonsense. We require a society where I can go in, or anybody who can do my stuff, and I say it to the people, and the kids appreciate it, and the teachers appreciate it. They understand it. There's no, we haven't had one stranger appreciate what I'm telling them.
That's a good point.
Yeah.
Well, I think it takes some time to appreciate.
That's
they
right.
They could at least be interested and ask the question instead of just
right.
saying, oh, this is wrong, I'm out. Yeah.
They are rapidly categorizing. They were so uncool. They should have said, well, this is an interesting, strange, ugly guy. What's this? What do I have to run off to? You know, I'm going to hang out here for half an hour and see what this phenomenon is. They fail on that front immediately.
Yeah.
Most people have so many rules, though. They can't get past that, which is why the first thing about ION with no rules was so important.
Yeah.
That's two paradigm shifting.
Everything I said was correct. Everything Ian said was correct and applicable to our time and to media ecology, including the changing of what he was saying. That's part of media
exactly.
ecology.
I was just going to say that, including that everything he said was bullshit now.
Yeah, the rapid production of bullshit.
And we need to ask it again because that's just pointing out how things change always. Nothing ever
right.
stays the same.
See, people don't get up. Generally, people don't get upset with different color skin anymore. And they don't get upset with different kinds of sex or different kinds of body stuff, but they do get upset with different kinds of mind patterning.
Mm.
And I come in with a different kind of mind patterning, and they freak out.
It's not just different. It's never been talked about. It's never been
right.
before, it seems like.
Yeah, they've never heard it.
Yeah, but Bob, I've worked in the public school with teachers, and I heard what you said to Hillary the other day. And the one thing that's so difficult for everybody is to hear the statement, what you said to Hillary, which is, let me tell you what you don't know about what you know.
Yeah.
That is such an offensive place, and that's why I always say, not let your mind be offended. The labyrinth of your mind will be offended. It was offensive to Hillary. And I agree with you. I think teachers are very arrogant because they have to be confident in what they think they know because they've got those little wide eyes sitting there looking at them all day long and they pour that shit into their head.
Yeah.
And to tell them that they don't know what they think they know about what they're supposed to know about is very, very difficult, especially in a literate society. So you know the monster.
A dying literate society. They are fragile
yeah.
and brittle.
Very fragile.
They're afraid if they were really to look at that, I'm sure.
Yeah.
That what would their life be about? They're back basically babysitters now.
Right, and that's the case in every specialist institution, from law, medicine, doctoring,
yep.
whatever, though teaching. I have them on my chart, politician, priest, doctor, teacher, lawyer, and producer, and media. Those are the vulnerable positions because it's all obsolesced by Web 2.0. Completely, every one of it.
And if everyone on this call were honest, they would, I can be honest about it and say that I have had very scary moments of trying to look at what Bob said and what Ion said, and consider what I thought I knew about what I thought I knew, and it's a very vulnerable situation to be in until, you can, you know, come to the place of surrender. So, you know.
Yeah.
I mean, it's what everybody, I think, it's at this level of our conversation right now has done, or at some level or degree has had to do in order to even be on the phone with Bob right now.
It's like you have to get crucified first. You have to brought to your knees.
Yeah.
Well, you think
there,
you're being crucified.
Yeah, you think, if Bob's there, you're fucking drama queen. Will you get over it? Like, I'm not attacking you.
He's attacking your mortar.
They're very quiet, letting them rant on, and not even getting upset at what she's saying about me.
Right.
And
everyone was supposed to be like Bob.
What?
That song, Everyone Wants to Be Like Bob.
Yeah, we got to get that song out. I haven't absorbed
yeah.
that enough.
I love that song, dude.
Has Chris been on the call?
What?
Has Chris been on the call at all? I can't remember. It's been so many days.
I think he did email in quickly last night, I think. He made a statement. But you know what it is? I don't even care about the song. I don't want that distracting the fucking course material. We're doing the course material here. We don't need Leon to run off and make a little thing and come back. Look at this. So I made a funny song about Bob. Fuck you. Get out of here. And I yelled at them all that night. I said, you fucking idiots. Go off being creative and distracting from the lesson. I mean, it takes years to get a bunch of people to this point where they actually can listen for a couple hours and start to get it a little bit and then go read it.
Right, and they think that's what you wanted, and that's what Ion said would happen, is that this would become an online university and you would be having regular seminars and you would be doing this kind of content development, and you now have people who have come from different sectors of life. I mean, I can, you know, honestly represent the entire pastoral paradigm, book world, manuscript kind of situation as somebody who's completed a curriculum and gone through the content and find value in it, and I'm still alive and I'm very happy and I'm intelligent and articulate about it, and it works, and it's a very practical thing, and combined with Carolyn's content, it makes perfect sense for an advanced living in a 21st technology, you know, century, where we are going to be faced with a lot of environmental challenges, including EMPs. I mean, that's just simple.
Right, and then we give the reward. We give you the little cookies and milk at the end of the course, and that's the RNA drops, and you go into bliss and all kinds of great things. It's even better than the course.
So that's the new curriculum. That's the school.
The course is just filling in the waiting period, the downtime in between until you get your next RNA hit or you're getting your next 2,000 double helix strands growing. You know what I mean? It's in the in-between period.
So you keep your kids home.
What'd you
say? You keep your kids home and you let them run around the house and just play Radio Free Ion or whatever in the background all day.
And every now and then you say, every now and then you go over and you say, see this book? That's separate from the ear. And so you repeat this stuff every fucking week, a few days a week.
I'm sorry. I'm going to make a statement here, and I'm going to say that when Ion comes back in full, this is what Ion's going to be doing, is running seminars. Ion said that there would be 10,000 people on the rewrite call at a time.
Right.
10,000 people. And I don't think that they were joking. They're very literate in their words to come to pass. And I think that this
literal
is occurring as people will be getting on in a conference kind of environment and listening to the content and getting their selves straightened out so that they can proceed.
We are the Illuminati. Yeah. We are the only leading edge, new knowledge, and no Pythagorean school had a substance. They might have had the hemlock stuff, but they didn't have, we got the substance to relax you, and we got the course content. We're the only thing, we were the first, I said 95, me and Carol, the first to reappear, when our reappearance evoked Ion, so we're beginning the new civilization, and nothing else is relevant. Other than it's playtime, or it's to have sports with, and go beat them up in a game or something. I had a game with Hillary, and fuckface.
That's why we're all on this call for 5 days.
Yeah. We're on a retreat. And I'm not here teaching you ideas, concepts like a spiritual retreat. We're just talking about our senses in between it and having sport with whoever shows up. So we can thank Matthew for being athletic director and sending us the teams from the other cities to compete with.
The district.
So Bob, Jerry, just demonstrate.
Bart?
I just said so Bob could demonstrate. See here?
Yes, I could demonstrate. It's like a very light version of the corn god who gets sacrificed, right? So I come in, take the fucking hits, take the punches, and then I say, now see what happened?
this is a great
arena.
Oh. Yeah. What, Leon?
This is a great arena because you can really, you can work out your difference here. I mean, this is perfect.
And we even have Ion come in, and if they were lucky, they could have heard Ion in the middle of it. We have the rock star Ion shows up, and all the girls start squealing, and we get distracted from the Bob chorus for a while. Have a few orgasms, and back to Bob.
Have you commented on what Ion said about ascension?
Have I commented on it? When did he say it?
I think it was the second time today that you were on that real quick time, if I heard it correctly. They said somebody asked I don't remember what the question was, but their answer was that you're already ascended. If you just get it, that there's nowhere to get to.
I think you should have noticed this time that Ion is redoing what he said in Cashflow in a sing-song, jazzy way. Did you notice he'd get musical with the riffs? Because he knows we've heard them before, so he would jazz it up.
Yeah.
Yeah.
He sang
it. You already won. You
yeah,
already
he'd say
won.
It real fast. He'd say it real automatic. It's like
you already
Zappa.
Won, yeah.
Yeah, Zappa would play fast at ridiculous speeds and then do slow, but he'd play with the speeds in your hearing. Ion was playing with the speed of you hearing the concepts and trying to follow.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah, and they did get faster toward the end of their first appearance.
Beg your pardon?
Ion did get faster toward the end of his first appearance.
Yes,
there may
yeah.
have been... Yeah,
he got really fast. I don't even know if a voice can tell. We, I think it was so blinding fast. I don't know if a voice could go that fast normally.
Right.
Bob, has he described the post EMP world? What it looks like?
Well, it's us. it's a grand
are we going to be like missionaries and spread the word?
Oh no, you'll be hanging around Maui, you know. You'll be doing what Bob and Connie
Paradise, do. Love.
Yeah.
Right, so we're going to all go to Maui before it happens?
Yeah, in the beginning, Ion said that at one point in the early months, he said, people will be coming to Maui and building tent cities, like that guy John the God guy who sticks stuff in people's eyeballs. They have tent cities down there. They'll be coming to hang out just to be around the Ionic vibe.
Now,
I'm not encouraging that. I don't know if that'll happen, but that's what he said. He said that people will come here and be hanging around and just trying to stop, thinking that they can't live without being close to Ion or the vibration.
You.
Yeah, which
you
is actually
and
Bob and Connie. And I'll be fucking 22-year-olds like Barbara Saw.
But that was my dream, totally. There were people
I
just
know.
Hanging around. There was nobody driving. Everyone was on foot, and they're all hanging out, like, in rooms at your place. And
yeah. Yeah,
and
I was
go anywhere.
I'm waiting for the next hit from Ion.
Aren't we doing that right now?
What?
That's what we're doing.
Yeah, that's what we're doing. And so it's an obsolete image to think it has to happen here. It can happen all over the world with 10 million people listening, hanging out, not sure when
the
seminar is going to end.
But after the EMP, if we don't have phones to call in, we're not going to be hanging out that way.
No, you'd be hanging out wherever you are phoning from.
No, but if there's no phones, no electricity, what are you talking about?
Oh,
Ion said that the EMP does not have to affect you. That is, the sky will fall, but it doesn't have to fall on you.
Yeah, like everybody, they'll panic, they'll die, and those that don't panic, when they rebuild the structure, they'll say, well, it wasn't that intense. We fixed it in 6 months.
Then okay, we'll just keep the
structure.
What?
It might be cold fusion.
Right.
Or maybe it's the ESP, like the melting titanium type connection.
Yeah, you need to knock out the situation, disrupt it so it collapses, and break down its breakthrough. And then you can bring in the cold fusion.
Destroy, then create.
Yeah.
But, I mean, that could be like the Twin Towers falling. I mean,
yeah.
Ion said that there's worlds where the Twin Towers have not fallen and worlds where they have. And I mean, you're talking about parallel world realities, and I don't have any intention of living in a world where I can't use my hairdryer, and Ion knows that. So, I mean...
yeah, there you go.
That simple. I have huge consideration. So, I mean, I'm very clear about my future.
Remember in Fringe when one building got replaced by another building? You know, this, with Ion power, this will all fall apart all over the place, and then all of a sudden you'll just see a big New York City be sort of floated in and replace the damaged one.
No,
a better New York
City. It's already happened.
What?
I was just going to say, it seems like it's happening. It's not,
yeah.
You know, it's not, what I heard Ion saying was stop looking towards something again. It's already here.
What you see is not real.
And be in it instead, or not, I don't know if that's the...
Now, here's the best illustration of that. What you see is not real. So you look at the Pacific Ocean, you start exploring it, and looking and swimming down into it with your submarine or something, you will eventually find, if you keep looking, that it's bigger than the universe. See, that means it goes into other wormholes and into other worlds, and basically you can't go by what you see to get your bearings when you're going into the down to the ocean. It's bigger than the universe.
Mm-hmm.
Wow, that's interesting.
I don't think it was meant as a limiting idea to hear that after the EMP thing. There is no...
Yeah, it's breakthrough. It knocks out the police forces of the establishment, kills them all off because they panic, went hysterical, and then I can start helping distribute the fucking cold fusion battery we have.
Fabulous.
Yay!
Sounds fabulous.
Yeah. And then we'll build the civilization, and then Bob will say, okay, as I was saying, and we'd all fucking march in and start trying to understand how visual space is this and that and go back to the eternal conundrum of our senses.
Hey, Bob, I'm getting something, lining this up with your evergreens talk about your past lives.
Yes.
And your parallel lives and how
right.
the resonances between them.
Yeah.
So we don't need the EMP. Because it's happened already.
Yes.
And we are here resonating with what has happened, and cold fusion can come forward without a stupid EMP knocking out Ginny's hairdryer, because we already
right.
know how that goes.
Right, and you're thinking right. and saying it, and that helps it happen.
Yeah.
And if Ginny's hairdryer got knocked out, there wouldn't be civilization left after that anyway.
Right.
there wouldn't be... Wouldn't be any hope.
Right. So the, what was it? You were just so madness. You've got
past
this...
Past lives, parallel lives.
Oh, yeah. I wanted to say that it's really great re-listening to the earrings. I never would bother listening to them. But re-listening them on the run here the last couple of days, you can see it's ionic stuff, you know. Kindergarten 30 years ago.
Kindergarten, yeah.
And no one even knows that it's been said until I played them, and they're better than anybody else, but it's kindergarten in relation to ion. But it's way better than anything else out there.
And it's a great example of the timelessness of everything, you know, that since it was so long ago, in quotes, it wasn't. It's all happening now.
But yeah, we've brought in the evergreens reality as a parallel reality. We shipped in the hologram of evergreen land and said, okay, let's have this
yeah.
the hologram of this week.
Yeah.
Okay, Bob, so you're going to go on a five-day fast or sleep fast. What hologram do we bring in? Oh, bring in Plato's time. Let's do Plato. And everybody will start reading Plato. Holy shit, look at this. The fucking Plato had it right. Look at Socrates saying right there.
Socrates, it was said, stood in one place for 8 hours contemplating some conundrum, some issue. Has anybody ever read that, or did you ever
no.
hear about that, Bob?
No. And what happened?
I know is that it was just an anecdote that he had stood in one place for 8 hours while he worked some issue out. He was thinking through some issue, but...
Well, that's what I'm doing. I'm walking around my house, not standing still, but I'm walking around working the issue out of your perceptions.
But you're doing it with your mouth.
Yes, I'm doing it over, you know, for 5-6 days.
Right, right.
Socrates on steroids.
Yeah, Dobbs, yeah. He stood there and engaged the problem for 6 days.
And did he get anywhere, Palmer?
Yeah. Oh, he did. Much
yeah.
rapery, much sex, much ion kept coming in. We evoked a lot of ion. I think I'll claim I evoked ion by the intensity of what I set up.
Yeah. Well, the speaking
I like...
is what it's about.
The what?
The speaking is what it's about.
Yeah.
Well, Bob, do you call JW when you want a session? With him, or
say that again,
Bob. Do you just call JW when you want to have
no,
a session?
No, they call us.
Okay.
JW's at the factory, so when issues that involve ion, then JW calls us to get ion's opinion on things.
Oh, okay.
You know, he calls. Hey, Bob, knock me out, Bob. Put me out. We need to get some information, so we put him out, and then we find out what ion has to say.
Oh, that's funny.
Yeah.
Hit me in the head so I can get this question answered.
Yeah. He said the janitor likes to work things out. You know, he's pretty creative. And he likes making things hands-on by himself. And after a while, he gets frustrated. He says, fuck it, I'm not going to figure this out. Fuck it, what am I trying to do that for? Hey, Bob, knock me out, and let's find out how to do this so I can go on to something else.
Take me out of my mind.
Yeah, yeah. He'll start off trying to master it himself. And Bob and Carolyn, they just go to the beach. Well, I count them. But I go to the beach waiting for JW to come running for help.
Wow, that's cool.
It's one step before an ascended person manifesting a hot dog whenever they want one. What we do, we manifest Ion, you know, and then Ion shows us how to get it. That's one. That's a devolved state of instant manifestation. We're still getting instant manifestation, but it just goes through a little bit of bureaucratic process of have a couple of dialogues with Ion. He tells you how to do it, and then you do it. See, that's the funniest situation ever, right?
Yes.
Hey, this is all being recorded. Everybody's going to listen to this stuff. You know, they're going to listen 144 hours over the next 1,000 years and say, wow, that fucking guy's funny, man. This Bob guy, look at him. He's going on with these voices. And it's sort of hilarious. They'll see the humor in it.
Maybe so this is the introductory course.
Yeah, this is Lord Buckley. I'm fucking Lenny Bruce, a new kind of Lenny Bruce, you know, not doing any of the cliches of comedy. This is where we got Love Job. He goes out and does it, and he gets quickly dissatisfied because it's too formulaic presenting the comedy. I present the comedy in unforeseen methods.
Oh, I just got that the people calling in were so serious.
Yes.
They didn't know it was a comedy show. They were like, what?
Yeah. they thought they would teach.
Very seriously.
We do not encourage teaching. McLuhan used to say, I don't explain, I explore. That's what I'm doing. I'm constantly exploring this. We'll be exploring it in 1,000 years from now. Not explaining, we're exploring. Potential explanation.
That's why you yelled at Greg for explaining something to...
He started to get into it too much and locking it down. You're trying to tell me something. This is what he said.
Watch it,
guy.
Pal.
Yeah, watch it.
Watch yourself.
Yeah. Don't try to tell me anything. Well, how do I speak? Well, just do it anyways. You know, make it up. Lie. We celebrate lying here. As long as you keep your mouth moving.
Now, why would you say James Martinez is dead? You mean dead to you?
I was talking technically. Yeah. I just thought it was a great thing to do. I always have to up the ante. I have to make it fucking funny.
And you had David Icke kill him.
Yeah.
His old business partner or his new best friend or whoever.
Yeah, Icke, he knew he should have not. He made a big mistake joining up with Icke because Icke, he's dangerous. And he got pissed off at stupid James and fucking killed him. He had a tantrum.
Why did... David Icke got pissed off at James?
Well, they're now friends, and I guess James might be part of his network studio, whatever it is this People's Global Voice is. James apparently worked in there.
Transitioned into Icke land.
What?
James transitioned into Icke land.
That's right. Icky land.
Well, it's pronounced Icke, but you always say Icky.
Yeah, that's what he is. And you know, I talked to Robin, and she told me that, I said, what, did you see James? Yes, I saw James. He wouldn't look me in the eye. He said...
Who's Robin?
Robin runs coldfusionnow.org, you know, and she spoke at the October 12th thing. She was one of the keynote speakers. So she ran the website. And
James wouldn't look her in the eye.
Right. And he said there were all these silly people treating James going around with sunglasses on, and everybody, well, some were treating him like a rock star. She was shocked at the rock star aura that he gave off. And then she said he heard his lecture, and she agreed with me totally. It was a disgusting saying nothing lecture. He's never been able to say anything. And he did in all the other recorded interviews. And she was just sort of marveling. So what happened? She, at lunchtime, she wasn't too happy with her official talk. And she was nervous, and she didn't say some of the stuff I told her to say. And she wasn't confident. So then she's sitting down at lunchtime. and some heavies there, and she starts talking, doing me. And she gets the heavies there all fascinated as she does, you know, a pretty good version of me. And she was amazed. She said, this stuff works. If I just start talking about the senses and the extensions,